Hello, hi, and welcome. My name's Harry, and this is my podcast, Back From Rock Bottom, my first episode, Addiction and Turning Pain into Purpose. So my name's Harry. I've dealt with a lot of addictions over the years, and, you know, nothing was ever easy, but then I did put it all on myself. I've started this podcast basically because I feel like I haven't got anyone to blame apart from myself, you know, and all the wrong decisions I took over the years. And, you know, and for whatever reason, then decided to turn all of my pain and my problems into other people's problems, which is probably, it's probably a bigger thing than we all realise. You know, I think if you're someone like me and you are in this position, it's hard to see it any other way. And the same from outside of the box. You know, if you're looking in on someone having that addiction, it's an awkward one as well. So anyway, you know, this intro is very rocky, very all over the place, you know, but this is my first podcast. And basically, you know what it's like when I'm always looking for something, a bit of self-improvement or trying to make myself feel better. And I'm always looking for a certain kind of podcasters in my head, you know, normal run-of-the-mill people who are dealing with these addictions, who are not celebrities or do not have thousands of pounds in the bank or, you know, do not have the help that is there. So some days I just wanted to listen to someone that, you know, was just ranting and how they felt that day. And unfortunately, I couldn't find anything like that. So I decided to do one myself and just put it out there. And hopefully someone can just take something out of this weird and unrestricted podcast and hopefully can take something out of it and make themselves better. But I'm just trying to set the tone, you know. It's a podcast that's just about being real, being honest. And, you know, hopefully I can help someone else out there. So anyway, let's move on. So I really need to start with where my story starts. And I can't just go, oh, I felt like doing it every weekend. Or no. There was, put myself in that position, you know. So I won't lie to you, I have written like a little prompt thing, you know, just to sort of help me. Because of the addiction as well, I don't have much brain power left, much memory, you know, so it's very difficult to remember. So we just go through it bit by bit, you know. Maybe this isn't going to reach out to everyone or make anyone feel any different. But if it does, then, you know, we're doing something right. And like I say, it's the first one. It's going to be rocky. I'm on my own for this one as well. I thought, like, you know, as I wanted to start it, I should come on myself and really, like I said, set the tone and tell you why I've started this and, you know, what I want to achieve from it and, you know, what I want to do. But we'll go back to the basics. Like, how, you know, my first thing is how addiction entered my life. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it was so bad and, you know, this happened. And don't get me wrong, there is a lot of people out there, there's way more people out there than me who have had it way worse. You know, I'm not disputing that. But also, you know, everyone's problem is problematic to themselves. Some people might have a problem and to other people it's a minor. It might not mean nothing. Some other people might have a massive problem and to someone else, you know, well, the other way around, you know what I mean. So vice versa. But addiction for me entered, again, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this happened and that happened and this happened. The bones of it is, at that point in life, for me especially, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, talk about other people's experiences or other people's problems and addictions and whatever. For me, it wasn't like that. Like, you know, things happen. Everyone has things happen to them in life. But for me, no. For me, I just wanted to be cool. That's all it was. I think I was at the point I started, I was in school, was smoking, just cigarettes around me, you know, and things. But by that point, I'd already had a couple of cigarettes and whatnot, thought I was the man. But then obviously when I got into school, it started upping just a little bit and a little bit. And then, you know, before I knew it, there was a little bit of weed was involved. Again, something like that. At the time, I felt I was so cool, you know, smoking a bit of weed and da-da-da-da-da. And at the time, you don't think this is ever going to be any more than this. Enough people said to me over the years, oh, it's a gateway, you know, you're going to harder things and all that. And I said, no, of course I won't. But yeah, so that's how I started. I started smoking a bit of weed. going through my list again, my mental state, environment, influences, my mental state, I was a child. So to be honest, I for one didn't understand what a mental state was, and I didn't know what that was. At the end of the time, you're just a kid and you're just floating through life. So that is what it is. My environment, yeah, raised on a council estate, that doesn't mean anything. And people look down their nose and go, oh, of course he's on drugs. He come from a council estate. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all that. No one wants to hear that. Because in reality, it's nonsense. It is absolutely nonsense. Being on growing up on an estate was one of the best places to this day. One of the best places I've ever been. You know, the things we learned in that time and whatever. But so that was the time. Through school, started smoking. My influences, I never had an older brother. We were the oldest, so we never had anyone to tell us, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. You know, we just did it. We never thought any more than that. Just thought we were cool, you know. The struggles with it, denial, I've always been in denial. I've always been in denial. There hasn't been a time when I haven't felt like I wasn't in denial. I always have been. But unfortunately, it was just always there. I always thought I had control of it. It weren't until later on in life I started doing, you know, cocaine. And that's when I knew I had no control. First signs it was becoming a problem. When you're doing something every day, every single day, but you don't realise, you'll put yourself into X amount of debt, but you don't think in any other way about it at the time, because there's that little voice in the back of your head and he's saying, don't worry, like, you know, we will, once you get it, you'll feel better, you'll feel fine, you won't need to worry about it, and you've already got it now, so you can just pay for it in a couple of days, and all will be good. That's what you tell yourself. That's what you tell yourself. But underlying to that, you don't realise what a problem that you are creating. And that problem that you are creating is you with a problem, with an addiction. So I just wanted to be cool in life. You know, maybe it was a little bit of bullying at school, and I wanted to get in with a crowd. So I thought, you know, let's do what they're doing. Let's smoke a little bit, or, you know, let's do this. Affecting my life, when your family stop talking to you, and you know, and you're constantly on them for money, and you know, things like that, and people start distancing themselves from it, that's when you need to look at it and go, this is a problem. But unfortunately for me, I didn't see it was a problem. I do want to reiterate, this is my first podcast, so we are going to be all over the place, but I just want to, you know, lay the bones of what this is, and hopefully you can all understand it a bit better over the next few weeks when we get a bit more controlled with it. The impact of all of this, being honest with yourself, can you do that? I can't do that. I know I can't. You got to sit there and you got to look at yourself in the mirror. Don't matter how ugly you are or anything like that. You got to look at yourself and be real with yourself. You know, what have I lost? What is this costing me? You know, when you look in there and your partner's always, you know, it's got the hump with you, and your siblings don't want to see you. Because the next thing is, what happens is, all these people start thinking, oh, he's only ringing me for money. He only wants to, he don't care how we are, he's only ringing me for money, and da da. And obviously that's when you're going to start affecting your relationships. Your health, my health. I've done coke for over 10 years, so, you know, I've done a lot of damage to my nose. The whole inside of it's gone, in fact, and what comes out of it now is absolutely sickening. And on top of that as well, no, I have quite severe pains, problems with my left eye, but you know, that's something we're looking into now, and hopefully we can get that sorted again. Opportunities. I've lost enough opportunities through my life. You know, people have really put themselves out on a limb for me and said, you know, oh, Harry, you're a good guy. We want to help you, and we'll give you a job and this and that and the third. And then you just end up ruining it. You know, this person's gone to help you, and you're too busy out on the night before with your boys, and you're getting on it, and you've got the bags in, and you know, and you're doing this, that, and suddenly you don't care about it. Ah, they'll be all right. They'll be all right. I'll just ring them tomorrow and give them an excuse. They'll be all right. And then again, that's another opportunity gone, plus a relationship, you know. So with that person who wanted to, no, don't want to know you anymore, you know. Same with trust, you know. people say trust is earned and all that, but you know, if people are on this belief that you're a rager and that's all you care about is drugs and money and this, that, people ain't going to trust you either. They're not going to want you in their house. They're not going to want you around their family. They're not going to want you around their personal items, you know. So, and self-worth as well. I know from my own experience, I had no self-worth. I didn't care about myself. That was obvious. I just cared about where I was getting the next fix from. And that's the honesty, and that's, again, for the podcast as well, is the honesty. That's all I cared about. That's all I wanted. I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing I think about. 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to work, but I'm knocking on my geezer's door 10 to 7 in the morning trying to get something. You know, that's where it gets you. You know, there's the emotional side of it as well. You've always got to remember that. You know, the shame of it. The shame of thinking, of knowing, actually, knowing that there's people in your life, say, whether it be your parents or your siblings or your, you know, your nieces and nephews, cousins, whatever it may be, grandparents, they're all going to be ashamed of you. Because all they'll remember is, looking back, remember that little boy that, you know, such a good little boy and he always done right. And now he's a rager. Now he's out every night getting on one and he's getting arrested and he's doing this, that and the third. Now they're all ashamed of you. You know, and then and on top of that, then you hold that guilt. That burden, that guilt, you know, of knowing that you know this deep down, that these people feel this about you. But who do you look to and who do you blame? You've got no one else to blame. You know, and again, that all comes back to self-worth, and maybe you need to trust yourself more. Trust yourself before people can trust you. You know, that's what it is. Isolation. I know from my own experience that I was isolating, and it weren't just through COVID, let me tell you that. You know, through the depths of when it was bad, yeah, all I wanted to do was stay inside. Just want to sit on the sofa in my pants and get on a rager. It's all I cared about. You know, and what kind of life is that? You're a 30-odd-year-old man and you just want to stay inside and sniff lines of coke. It's not good, let me say that. But yeah, so that's where we're at with that. And I can, you know, I'm no artist by any means, but I can try and paint you a picture of how heavy it can be without glorifying it, because why would I? You know, my job keeps me in central London all week. And obviously everyone's well aware of a homeless crisis up there. And obviously you can just see the impact. Because a lot of these, you know, not to get it wrong or whatever, but in my belief that the vast percentage of homeless people is going to be down to drug abuse. You know, and then you've only got to look at these people and see where it can get you. But obviously, I was lucky, very lucky, that I did, despite this, I did have people that cared and they did keep me on that path. Although I kept using, they did keep me on that path. So that was that. So that's why I've tried to repay that and do something positive. So yeah, so basically, look, that's the first one. I know it was a bit all over the place, but it's all practice. You know, and hopefully in time it can be a lot better. We can attract more people. And to be honest, if we can just help one person, then that's what it's all about. But don't feel like you can't reach out. I can only thank you for your time and listening. If you have listened, it does genuinely mean a lot. And yeah, my name's Harry. This has been Back From Rock Bottom. I'll catch you next time. Thank you.